We live in exciting times. By the way, that's a great song. It is so appropriate as we look at where we're going tonight. We've been studying the armor of God. We're going to continue, but in a little different sense tonight. But I want to stop and think about something for a moment. We live in a time that things are really changing fast. I didn't read the article, but some of you might know who Glenn Beck is. He's now saying World War III is right on the horizon. And I don't know what he said about that and how he's come to that conclusion. But he's a fellow that's in some know in some areas and some understanding of some things. I look at the Middle East, and we find nation after nation over there that basically hates Christianity. We've had a so-called ally for years called Saudi Arabia. However, when our forces were in Saudi Arabia, do you know that they would not allow them to have a church service even in their own areas? They do not allow Christians a church there. They don't allow them any form of worship. It's closed. That's true of so many nations over in that area. However, God has always had a remnant and some people who brave all that is there, and it's amazing what takes place. I'm understanding right now there's actually some revival going on in a nation called Iran amidst all the turmoil that is there. We saw just this last week or just a couple of days ago, what was it, 21 people who, because they were Christians or out of a Christian village, had their heads chopped off. And did you hear any Muslim clerics discredit that? I don't think so. And yet we have folks all upset because three were killed in America. It's just amazing the things that take place in our society, in our world. We live in some precarious times. I honestly believe that somebody said about 15, 20 years, we're just going to be overcome. I don't think we have near that long. Things are moving very fast and furious, and to where things are going to be. You look at a guy like Putin over in Russia. They're claiming that it's rebels who are fighting against Ukrainians. The Ukrainians know better. And they're stirring up trouble. Say one thing out in the press and do something else behind the back. Kind of sounds like American president, doesn't it? And we have that to deal with. We have all these things that are going on. Of course, now there's a great big huge budget fight that's going to take place. And it's just interesting to see all these things take place. As Christians, we can look at all these things, and we can either be discouraged or encouraged. We can be discouraged because we see what's happening, or we can be encouraged that we have a Lord and Savior, and that you and I, we can go into all the battles that are there, and we can be victorious. I want you to notice something found in the book of 1 Corinthians. I want to just look at one verse tonight, chapter number 16. If you'd open up, just hold that thing right there and just keep it in front of you tonight. We're going to park in this verse because it's a tremendous verse. And notice what it says. Chapter 16, verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Let me read that again. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you so much for your tremendous word. Thank you for this verse of instruction, of encouragement. Lord, I pray tonight that you would just do both in our hearts. Lord, I pray that as we look at all the things that happen, that we might not look at them, but we might look up, for our redemption does draw nigh. We realize, Lord, that with the coming of the Antichrist means also first the Christ. And our going to be with you, we're excited with that. And Lord, we know that in the days before that happens, that we might face some very, very awful things. We don't know what all is going to take place. But God, we pray that you might help us to, in our minds, settle it once and for all that we're going to stand for you no matter what. To be as the soldier in Ephesians, having done all to stand. Lord, I pray you put that within our hearts. Bless tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. This is a brave warrior who wrote that. God used the Apostle Paul to write to the Corinthian people. This man who had been experienced, this man who had been tried at the hands of the enemy. This man who had been beaten, this man who had been whipped, who had been imprisoned, left for dead, stoned. And yet God used him over and over and over. And he's writing to this small group of really fairly new, and I'll use the word recruits tonight, because they are being admonished here to be good soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a soldierly command we find here in verse number 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. And so he's saying to them to stand, and having done all, to stand. The city in which we find this letter being taken is really a place of, it was a place of great wealth. You go to there today, you find nothing but ruins and so much of what was there is lost. But we know that it was a major trade route. It was a place that had access to the Mediterranean Sea. As a matter of fact, people who came from there were considered to be very licentious in their being. It was a place of luxuriousness, loose moral fiber, and they were just simply known to be very depraved in all that they did. So we find a church is raised up in its midst. And not only does it have that to deal from without, but we find also, as we study the book of 1 Corinthians, that it was besieged with an assault of internal division. Remember back in the first chapter, I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Christ. And we find there at least three or four divisions amongst those people. We find also, as we study this book, that it was intermingled with heresies. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. Here's a church now. These are fairly new converts. Many of them are unknown. Matter of fact, most of them. Most believed to be slave types, or if they were not slaves, they were in the lower class of people. Here they are in a city that is very, very sinful. And then they are met with divisions on the inside. They have heresies that they are dealing with. And Paul writes to them after all of these things, and he says this, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. So in the midst of all that is round about them, he is trying to inspire them to just keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I, no matter what the problem is that's going on in our lives, in our church, in our world, in our work, wherever it might be, we're just to keep on keeping on. Amen. God has us in this spot. And so he says, watch ye, stand fast. Here's a group of people that, boy, I tell you, they've got problems from the inside. They got problems on the outside. And it reminds me so much of our own times and all that's facing our churches around the world today. I want us to look at this verse and just examine it a little bit more, that we just might wrap it around us. And I put it like this, like a sheath. We've looked at the soldier in Ephesians chapter 6. We've looked at the man who is armored up. We've looked at the fact that at the end of all that, he is to pray and brings the strength and power of God into this thing. And now the Apostle Paul, as he's writing to the Corinthians, I want to just apply that to this particular soldier as we look at him and say, watch ye, stand fast, quit you like men, be strong. It seems to me that it's a verse that's just simply given to those who are soldiers. Matter of fact, we sing a song once in a while, Onward Christian Soldiers, Marching As to War. And we ought to understand today, we are in a warfare. We are in a warfare. The devil wants to destroy you. Most of this world wants to destroy you. Matter of fact, you have a problem with your own flesh because it wants to pull you down. And so we have all this that is fighting against us. But God says, watch ye, watch ye. Interesting term there. Literally, it means stay awake. Stay awake. As I was studying this, I was fighting sleep. I'm setting my desk and I'm reading and I'm reading, and I've come across a lot of great things, and I'm reading, and I had already read this, and I'm thinking, my goodness, I just saw and I just read where I'm supposed to stay awake, and I'm having a hard time with this thing. And I thought about the disciples as Jesus went to pray, and he says, watch ye and pray. And what did they do? They fell asleep. And it's very easy for us. We get tired, we get weary, and yet God says, watch ye. In other words, stay awake. Let me put it in a little bit different context so we can, I think, understand this from what God's trying to deal with us on this. You know, we're very easily lulled to sleep. Seriously, we're very easily lulled to sleep. Let me give you a couple of illustrations. About a year ago, a little girl was shot over in Omaha, and from a block away, a bullet travels and hits that little girl and kills her. And what a tragic thing. Our hearts went out to the mother, the family, and yet in the weeks and the months that came after that, what have we seen? Shot after shot, life after life that's been taken. And you know what happens after a while? It all becomes kind of a blur, doesn't it? And we get kind of lulled to sleep about that. And the reports come in and they become obscure, and we fail to note them with quite the intent. But do you know that every individual that has been shot and killed in the streets of Omaha or even Council Bluffs, their life is just as important as that little girl. And the families involved were just as important as that little girl's family. And yet we fail to recognize that, and we get lulled to sleep, don't we? What's it been, 2-3 weeks ago, they began to get some horrible snows out east. Boston, where they got 6-7 feet of snow. And we heard about as it began to pile up, and we heard about the problems. We thought, oh my goodness. And most of us, we could relate as we go back in our minds a year or two or three ago, and we can see the snow piling up, and we realize the difficulties there are with getting our way out and getting around and all those things. And then it gets to the spot where it's so deep that we're thinking, I don't know if I can even imagine this. And we're wondering how these poor folks navigated in all this and how they doing all this stuff. And then it just keeps coming and keeps coming. And after a while, it's just like, no big deal. Guess I'll have to deal with it. And we get what? We get lulled asleep in these things. After a multitude of broadcasts, the reports don't seem to scratch at our hearts as they once did. And we hear atrocities, and then after more and more of them, we kind of lose sight of all of it. And I think what I'm trying to get across here is it's very easily for us to get lulled to sleep when there is great problem before us. And we don't recognize that, hey, there is an assault being made upon us. The awful becomes less awful with repetition. We grow less sensitive. And it's here that we go asleep. Familiarity, I can't even say the word. It's like an opiate in our system. And God wants us to be wakeful. God wants us to be aware of what is taking place. But let me also use the word watchful in this regard. Alert to the dangers at hand. He says, watch ye. Not only do we stay awake, but there's a reason to stay awake, and that is to see what is going on. As watching upon the wall, we are responsible for those that are round about us. And we need something very desperately in our age. And it's an old-fashioned word called discernment. We need to be able to discern in this age of deception. And it's something that's missing so much in lives. And yet God wants us to have that. Matter of fact, there's a verse in James chapter 1 that I think suggests that we ought to be asking God for it when he says, if any man lack wisdom. What's wisdom? The ability to make proper decisions, to discern what is right and wrong. Let him ask of God, he says, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God wants us to watch. There is so much going on in our age, and we need to be watchful. You who are parents, you need to be watchful. What is that which might hurt my children? What is that is going to be helpful to my children? See, it's not only the one side, but it's the other side as well. And it's watching out for prejudices. It's watching out for jealousies. It's watching out for animosities. It's being aware of faithlessness and phoniness in lives. But not only to watch for those kinds of things, but also for those who are doing the work. Those who need encouragement. Or those who have pure motive in seeking others for the cause of Christ. And perhaps learning from them. As we ought to. Being watchful for the soldiers who fought the battle and teach us by example. We need that kind of watchfulness in our lives. But one other thing, let's just put this back in perspective where we were at a while ago. We need to be watchful for the coming of Christ. Watchful for His coming. Realizing that He is soon to appear on the horizon. I don't know about you, but I think Gabriel's tuning up his horn. I think it's getting ready to blow. It might even be at his lips. The shout is just about ready to go forth. And I don't know about you, but hey, upward we go. In the twinkling of an eye, to be in His presence. What a glorious thought it is. You know, one of the things we ought to be praying is, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. And being concerned that we see that take place. I've been wondering recently. In a month, I want to go out and I'm planning on going out and seeing my good friend, Brother Blue. He'd asked me to come, and so we've made arrangements to go out for a couple of days. And Kenny has ALS. He's going in his 13th year of it. The last I knew, the longest that somebody had lived with ALS was 12 years. And 5 is the average. Many is in 2 or 3 years are gone. And yet now in his 13th year, I'm beginning to think that Kenny's not going to die. The rapture's going to come. I'm beginning to wonder. And God's still using him, by the way. If you're on Facebook at all, you know that he's putting stuff on there all the time if you have him on your thing. Amen. Watching. Notice, secondly, he says, stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in the faith. Where were they living at? In Corinth. What kind of people were these folks? They were people who were looking for luxuries. These were people who were living sinful lifestyles. And God says, in the midst of that, stand fast. When persecution comes, what's He say? Stand fast. No matter what comes our direction, stand fast. Stand with intent. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. We don't need to run. We don't need to turn. We don't need to drop our faith. But stand in that faith. And by the way, if you're going to stand in that faith, you need to know what you believe. Faith is believing what somebody has said. And a lot of folks talk about faith, but they don't know what Jesus said. So how can they have faith in Jesus if they don't know what He said? Very seriously. And so stand fast in that faith. Notice the next admonishment, quit you like men. Quit you like men. There's an old word for this, and the word is funk. F-U-N-K. Don't funk. Interesting word. That word means cowering in fear. Being in a state of great fright or terror. In other words, God says here, be a man. Be a man. You know what we don't need any more of? We don't need any more of these sissified guys that are out there. We don't need, there's a term out there today, it's called metrosexual. I don't know if you know what that means, but it's basically a girly man. We don't need any Christians like that. We need some men that are willing to stand. And when I say men, it's not just those who are male, but those of mankind who are willing to stand and stand in that kind of way. Not those who just want to play at church, never want to get in the mix of things. But they're willing to get involved and get into it and to do that thing called standing. That old song we mentioned a while ago, Onward Christian Soldiers, marching as to what? war. It's a warfare that we're involved in. And so we need the armor that's out there. We need the shield of faith. We need the sword of Spirit, we need the helmet of salvation. We need the breastplate of righteousness. We need to be girt about with truth. We need our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. And we need to be prayed up. But brethren, we also just need to stand strong. Be a man. And not back away. Somebody said there's no armor for the back. I might disagree with that. But there's no reason for us to ever turn and run. Face the enemy and keep on in that spirit. And then notice what he says there, be strong. I find that a number of times throughout the Word of God, and it always kind of gets me. Be strong. What does he mean by that? Be strong. I don't know about you, but I feel weak a lot of times. I go out to Planet Fitness. I haven't been there for a week, but go out to Planet Fitness. It's always funny to me. There's these guys that they get done lifting stuff and they walk around like this. You never see them walk that way any other time, but out there they do that. I get tickled with it. And there's some guys. I'll tell you what. You look at them and they are simply built. They are strong. Now, there's men in our church. I mean, they are strong. And I feel like a wimp in comparison when it comes to physical strength. They've got that. But I don't think he's talking about that kind of strength. And this is the kind of strength that is where we're willing to put ourselves completely into it. Giving it our all. It might not be as much as somebody else, but it's everything we've got. You see, God, by the way, blesses us for faithfulness in what He has given us. Not what we don't have. I flex my muscles, my shirts don't rip. It don't happen. I can buy extra small. They're still not going to rip. But I can give it everything I've got. And I believe that's what God wants us to do. Being strong in our prayers. Giving ourselves to that. Seeking after God. Seeking for His blessing. Realizing it's only through Him that we can accomplish as we pray to Him. Being strong in our ambitions. Going after it. Our kids at school, they break time, they've been playing a lot of kickball. I don't know if you know what kickball is, but and we played a little unusual over there because with the walls and everything, we don't have out of bounds. It bounces off the walls. Whatever, anything's fair. And I watch. There's several of those kids. When they're playing, it is all out. I mean, they're giving everything to it. And there's always a few just kind of stand back and kind of afraid to get into it. But there are those that, man, they go all out. And sometimes we get a whole force on both sides that are just going all out. And those things happen. And I get excited when I see that. Because that's the kind of attitude we need in this life of ours. Being strong, going for it, giving our best. Being strong in our vision. Being strong in our hopes. Being strong in our sacrifice to Him. What's He say here? Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. The song says, stand up for Jesus. What a great song that is. That's what God wants us to do, amen? Stand up for Him. This is not a big learning lesson tonight. It's one that's saying, hey, we've got the armor. We've got the power of God available to us. though the world be strong, though the devil is huge, though he's the roaring lion that stalketh about seeking whom he may devour, we also have the power of the Word of God that puts him at bay. We have the ability to resist him and he will flee from us. We have this all there, but we've got to take advantage of it. And so often we get fearful and frightened of all that's out there. Quit looking at that. It's there, but look at the one who's over it all. Amen? Look at him. It bugs me every year that a team like some of our teams in football, and I'll go across the river to Nebraska, and the first game they play is against some college I didn't even know was on the map. And I'm wondering, why are we playing Memphis High School football team? Because here's what I believe. If we're going to be something and accomplish, we got to face a big foe. Look in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, and you find out by faith, and you look at the big obstacles, and yet by faith they, what? They accomplished. And so you're going to have some big stuff. But faith can take you over the big stuff as well as the little. Amen? And expect it. The devil's going to seek to thwart you and to knock you down. Whatever you can do. Wow. But we're not in that side. Huh? I like what Billy Sunday used to say. He said, I'm going to shout the devil as long as I have teeth, and if I lose my teeth, I'll gum him to death. Amen? Go for it. And boy, what a tremendous thing. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Father, tonight, thank you for these words, this encouragement, this which was given to a batch of folks who were in deep trouble. And yet we read 2 Corinthians, and we know that through the power of God, things changed. And they had some victories. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to, as we see all these giants in the land, not to fear and to run as the Israelites did, but be like Caleb and Joshua and realize that we are well able in the power of God to overcome whatever enemy comes our way. Bless and work in lives, give encouragement, and we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.